And that was the song Time of the Elf, and that's a live version of it off of the High Live live album. Came out back in 1996, and that's off, actually the original version's off, of course, off the album Time of the Elf, and it's written by Rolando, whatever you want to call him. Roland, you're laughing now. I see you're laughing. How you doing?
Fine. Rolando. Tell me again, what's happening, man? I did an interview already.
So, they called you Rolando down in South America? Is that why you always send your emails that way?
Yeah, that's right. So, I like that. So it's funny sounding. Rolando.
So, cool. You know, I wanted to ask you some more questions, and one of them was... We just mentioned, talked on the phone a little bit, and, you know, thanks everybody also who called and asked some really good questions as well. You know, the song Hold On, you know, you did Kansas. Is that another band you were big on in the 70s? You know, why don't you pick that song for a B-side? And actually, your voice sounds really good in that one.
Thanks. because I was a big Kansas fan, and that's what I normally never like to do is a famous song to cover. Like, I mean, Yngwie did it now after that. So it's, I forgot the name of the song.
Hold On.
No, not my one.
Oh.
The Hold On is a great ballad.
Ah. But, Memories?
No, the biggest Kansas song ever.
Oh, I don't remember.
Man, that's
yeah,
not good.
I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about.
But Yngwie did it, so.
Yeah, I think I kind of know what song you're talking about. It might be on the album that I don't have, some albums. I don't have all his albums, so. Yeah.
Oh, I will have a look now. I'm pretty next to my studio, man.
So actually, you know, what do you listen to?
Carry On My Wayward Son, of course.
Oh, okay. Carry On My Wayward Son. Okay, that's off the that Inspiration album.
Yeah, right.
Yes, okay. He did.
So that's what I'm thinking about, maybe to cover this song, and then he did it, you know. So I was pretty happy that I did Hold On.
Now, you know what? I wanted to ask you something. And, you know, metal scene has been growing in the U.S. a lot more than it has in the past. I mean, there's more... record companies signing more bands and everything. Now, here's what I want to ask you. Back in the late 80s, one of the things that, you know, I think helped kill the metal scene was the fact that so many bands were getting signed and so many bands that weren't metal were getting termed metal, and it kind of killed, you know, the American corporate kind of killed the music, or, you know, like it does like a lot of stuff. Do you think that if this stuff gets bigger again, you think that same thing could happen, you know? What do you think about that?
I think it's, that's the record company's fault. I think it's always like to sign a lot of bands, and but the bands that don't get any support of them, you know, no money, no no any trust of them, or so it's just do your record, give us some tapes, and let's see if like maybe one band of 100 maybe will reach something, you know. And that's the thing, and it's always dangerous, and we have so many releases, especially in Germany as well, like 50 or 100 each month. Metal, you know, I'm talking about metal, not every record. And it's too much for the fans, you know, they can't listen to all of these new releases, you know. And I think this is always dangerous a little bit, so it's sometimes better to have maybe less bands and more good bands.
Now, you know, something I wanted to ask you about, you know, Andy told me about a strange tour story. You know, what happened, you guys, I think you were in Scandinavia or something, Marcus said he saw camels. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. So we were sitting on the bus, and we had a great talk, you know, and Marcus said, oh, I think I saw camels. And everybody was laughing, you know. And of course, and I mean, sometimes he's drunk, and and so it wasn't so special. But a couple of days later, he said the same. And it was true.
So what
honestly,
was
outside some camels, and I mean, I think it was Germany. Maybe there was like a circus with animals, and it was true. There were some camels running around on the field, you know.
So did you guys were wondering if there's something wrong with them?
Oh yeah, definitely. We always think about that. No, it was a joke. No, he's a funny and nice guy. He's maybe the nicest guy ever.
Uh-huh.
He looks so mean with his. All his tattoos, you know, but he's so...
Yeah, he does. He's a pretty big guy, too.
Yeah.
You know, something else. Wondering, you had on Kaleidoscope, you're probably the first person ever on Kaleidoscope to put their dog on the album. You Cammy? You put your dog on, I think it was before, it was maybe after listening to the lyrics, I think. And you had, actually, Jens Johansson, actually, you know, I'm curious about him as well. You had Jens Johansson. He used to play in Malmsteen's band, and he's in Stradivarius now. Now, how'd you meet up with him? I know I saw him at the New York Halloween show in New York in December.
Oh yeah, so it was quite nice. So last year we played in Milano in Italy, and so of course Stradivarius was playing. So I just talked to him. And mm-hmm. I know him very long from the records, of course. But it was the first time I talked to him, and he was pretty nice. And I asked him just for fun if he wants to play on my next solo record, you know. And he says, yeah, of course. And then the problem was the timing, you know. And he never had time before. When I asked him, he was in Sweden recording with his brother for like a tribute for his father or something.
Mm-hmm.
He was a jazz musician in the 60s, I think. Mm-hmm. And so they did a record. And then he said, oh, I'm busy with Stradivarius, but maybe the only chance is when you play in New York to do something with the day off before. And so I called him and from South America, and he said, yeah, I will come to your hotel room and I'll bring some equipment and then we can record it in the room. I said, why not at home? And, you know, I'm busy, I have a little apartment and my wife has some friends, you know, so I don't have the room for it. Okay, we did it, you know, it was a lot of fun and it was easy, and I liked the solo very much, so he's a great guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so the next gig we have with the solo stuff is in France, in Paris, beginning of October with Stradivarius, so we will play together again.
Wow. So you know, the lineup on your last solo album was a really good lineup. You're going to have basically, hopefully, the same one?
Live, I have just a different bass player because mm-hmm. Barry Sparks is on the road with Michael Schenker now,
mm-hmm.
and he will be on the road in Germany in October. That's why solo. The whole timing with him was a little bit bad, but I like to have him on the next solo record. And next time he will be maybe hopefully available live, you know.
Now, something I wanted to ask you too, back in, you know, 89 and 90, and before I want to tell him, by the way, we're still here with Roland from Halloween. Phil, I felt like bothering him and called him. So, one of the things I'm interested in knowing is, is when you came into the band, you came in late 88, you had the tour with Keeper 2 and the Headbangers Ball tour with Exodus, Anthrax, and blah, 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 you know, that's old history. Mm. But when you came in at a time where the band, you know, wasn't really an almost unified type band. And also another thing interesting about it is there's a lot of stuff going around, like, you know, a lot of court battles with Noise Records, and you had a lot of, like, you know, different stuff, bad things going on, like band members, like, you know, you had Ingo and Kiske and Wyke and not getting along with each other. And during Pink Bubbles, you kind of, your producer, from what I'm told by Michael Kiske told me, what Wyke told me, your producer, you didn't get along with him very well. Chris Dzangaritis, how do you pronounce this? Tangaritis?
Tangaritis, yeah. Chris Tangaritis.
You know, how did you, you know, get through that? And, you know, what was your reactions when you first came into the band at that time?
I was totally a very, very shy guy when I joined Halloween, because, I mean, you can imagine, it's the first time to be in a professional band, and then you have really strong characters in the band like Michael Kiske and Michael Wyke. And I had really a hard time in the beginning, so honestly.